Hey, this is David Tobin from Audio Jack, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hello, everybody. Welcome on back to Verbal Shenanigans. How are you doing? How's it going out there? I hope you are well. Mike, welcome back from Disney, Tennessee. I'm glad it was a good time. It's good to see you, buddy. Good to see you for another week.
Now technically, the Dollywood in Tennessee is not associated with Disney. I'm sure Disney
yet
will try to buy Tennessee at some point.
Only a matter of time before you can get Disney ears and like a fake set of boobs and walk around Dollyland. You know?
Working 9 to 5. I'm working. Walt won't give me a break. Like a rhinestone cowboy.
But anyway, welcome back. That's Mike. I'm Scott. If you're just tuning in for the first time. And I guess to give you a brief description here, we are we're a weekly podcast that we like to bring on really interesting guests. For example, 2 weeks ago, we had Dee Snider on the show, one of our favorite episodes, so go check that out. Last week, we had the Icelandic Phallological Museum, which is a museum dedicated to all different specimens of animal penis, if you will. So that right there, Dee Snider to the Phallological Museum, that is basically the spectrum that we cover. So everything in between that, okay? So that's what we do. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, if you ever challenge us, you'll never do this. It's like, pfft. Challenge accepted.
I think that's essentially what we do to ourselves. It's just, all right, what haven't we done yet? That's kind of what, you know, what haven't we done? And then something pops up. I would tell you, a good source of thinking about guests, like when I, because it's almost like you get writer's block sometimes, right? Like when you're trying to think about guests, I'm trying to like, all right, what haven't we done? Who can we reach out to? I just throw on like documentaries, and then if they're interesting, I'm just like write the names down of the people that are in the documentaries, and I'm like, that could be an interesting guy, that could be an interesting guy. And that's how like the penis museum thing came up. I was randomly watching my kid. Yes, I was watching the penis museum documentary while watching my kid.
Send me your email. I'm going to have to call the police right now.
Bring it on. Bring it on. Send me all the emails you want. I don't care. But yeah. and I was like, that would be good. And so many, like, if I think back, where, like, I think back of the Christmas tree episode we had, which the guy who sold tree man, like, a bunch of them have just come from that. So if anybody wants to rip off our podcast, that's kind of what we do. So,
yeah, we don't have much money, so it's going to be hard for us to sue you. We got to be brutally honest with you all. Like, we'll come in there with, like, the public defendant that they shove out there. It was probably like, what are you guys again? Vital Chaperones? What?
Vital Chaperones. Wow.
Wow, that's a better name than this one. Oh my God, we'll start the new podcast.
We had a comment about, let's see, the comment about last week's episode. Hi guys. That was the most interesting interview. I might still have a members only jacket left from the 80s. Just kidding. Not sure what that had to do with the museum, or maybe we
The word member, I would assume.
Ah, just kidding.
Boom, boom.
I think you meant cinnamon-infused noodles.
What? Pumpkin spice ramen noodles I was talking about.
Yeah. And she said, the final member is on Hulu, and it is very well done. Mr. Arison had a little book where he kept a record of all the women he did it with. It was sad when Siggy went to pick the member up, and they read the poem. The greatest day of Siggy's life after 37 years. Sad music playing. Thanks. So that's there's a review of both our episode and the documentary, The Final Member, if you want to go back to last week.
That kind of sounds like an interesting like improv challenge where it's like, your movie ends with staring at a penis, make it sad.
Yeah, or like, that's how it ends, create the documentary behind that final scene. Like, yeah. You know, See, maybe that might segue into our guest tonight. We're getting these creative juices going. We're playing the yes and game, you know?
yeah, I'm bringing back Whose Line Is It Anyway, so we can have more ideas for this show.
Yeah. So, anyway, you're back from, I guess, Smoky Mountains, Dollywood area, a couple different mm-hmm. places. How was your first non-Disney trip in quite a long while?
It was a lot of fun. I was pleasantly surprised in multiple areas that I did not see coming, and I have a little cute little story at the end. One thing I never thought I would be super excited about was a gas station.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's a...
So you went to Dollywood and the gas station and wrapped it up and came back home.
Yeah, yeah. It's like filled up. I'm like, this is amazing. Had enough to get to Dollywood and back to the gas station.
Gotcha.
I'm like, vacation, done. Don't need anything else.
Ah, I feel so relaxed.
Man, do you believe they had premium? Have you ever heard of this Bucky's, it's called?
No. The only Bucky I know is the one from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't him. Okay. When I went for gas, he didn't have his mechanical arm pumping gas.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. Well, but we know that would be false because that would have to take place in Jersey, right? Because aren't they the only...
Oregon. Right. The only two.
So Bucky's not getting employment in Tennessee. So
exactly.
That's why your story is fictional.
But... I've heard of this place before, but I just consider, okay, it's just another like QT 7-Eleven, something like that. So like I've had to use the restroom. I'm like, all right, we'll just stop off at the next gas station, which happened to be that. And they have like all these inflatable beavers around the plate because that's their mascot.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm like, wow.
No, we're not going in that direction. We're not going from the penis museum to there. Okay.
I'm just like, is he just going to skim over the inflatable beavers everywhere part of this story?
Yeah, that's the mascot of Bucky's, a beaver. So
I'm hoping this ends with, like, relating to your story from a couple weeks ago where you went to a Waffle House or joint and there's some guy making balloon out. I hope he's in the gas station.
No, unfortunately, the magician, and that was the Flying Biscuit Cafe for the record. We're walking up. Just figuring we're just at a regular gas station. And then, like, from the outside, I'm looking in, they're like, grills, $129.99, and like hunting equipment here. I'm like, oh man, maybe this isn't like a real, like, gas station kind of place, or whatever. And we go inside. This place is like Home Goods, it's like a freaking barbecue joint. They have a deli counter. It was the most magical gas station I've ever seen
now
in my life.
Is this an area that is like things are far apart from each other? Like there's not a lot going on? Or
yeah, this is Adairsville, Georgia, which is like if you're in Adairsville, Georgia, you are 2 to 3 hours away from something good.
So this is like the super Walmart of gas stations.
Yeah, it's like I come in, they have like, oh, we have our seasonal aisle available now with like pumpkin items. And it's like on the other side, there's like a whole clothing section. Ah. There's like, they're literally like cooking brisket in this gas station. Like they have like a full coffee bar, which you're making like your caramel macchiatos and stuff like that. It was like the most mind-blowing thing. They have their own products. They had like pickled quail eggs, which I never heard of in my life. I almost bought them just for the case of I have to know.
Isn't that what you're doing for September? Pickled quail, whatever? You're just gonna just
unfortunately quails only produce two things and eggs are the only one I'm willing to eat, so
oh boo. You're letting the fans down.
So that was like the most mind-blowingly amazing gas station, and that's the start of my vacation. So.
Oh, what? I mean, where can we go from here?
Yeah. So then we go up there, and the first night we have dinner. I think I kind of alluded to last week that there is a pirate show that we were going to for dinner.
Naturally.
So Pigeon Forge has a lot of touristy kind of stuff, kind of the cheap knockoffs, if you will, of certain things. So I was going into it with, all right, I'm going to basically see a high school play that's barely legal enough to not be called Pirates of the Caribbean. That's what I went into it like.
So we're talking like there's a lot of stores around with like shot glasses and kind of boardwalk t-shirts that say Pigeon Forge and stuff like that.
Items like that. And like even the other shows, they kind of show on the billboards, they look like really cheap. Like they have one that's called the Comedy Barn, and like their displays, it's like one guy holding two ping pong balls to his eyes and he has one in his mouth. And there's one where a guy is putting a plunger into another guy's ear and he's giving a look like, oh, I'm so hurt. Something where you're like if no way in a million years I'm going to this kind of places right now.
Did you check if the Comedy Barn had any avails that I could send my email address to?
I asked them if they do outdoor shows. I'm waiting for the answer. You might be – barns are like an open indoor place, so you might be legal to go there.
Gotcha. Scott. Okay. Yeah. For those who don't know, Mike, I've basically over the last few weeks have had a lot of dudzo shows that are indoor and some very strange ones outdoor, so Mike has now banished me to only outdoor comedy. So.
Yeah, you are the outdoor comic.
Okay.
So I go – we go in there, like, show starts at 6, we're like there 5 minutes before because I'm figuring there's nothing I want to see pre-show when it comes to this or whatever. And we walk in, and there's parrots flying all around the arena. So right off the bat, I'm kind of like, well, oh, that's kind of cool.
Now, this is the restaurant area?
It's kind of set up like a medieval times for pirates.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about parrots flying like above my burger and stuff like that. I feel
they haven't brought out the food yet.
Okay,
but they're just doing a parrot show right now.
I feel like that ends badly where you're like, I didn't order mayo. whatever. You know.
Yeah. So the show kind of starts and stage is beautiful. There's a water section. There's like really nice like layouts of the like ships and whatever. I'm seeing diamond boards. I'm like, okay, this is kind of getting to me. And they start the show, and then all of a sudden, there's acrobats in the show. There's like women in mermaid outfits hanging from the ceiling, doing like Olympic twirls up there. I'm like, oh my god. Then they're having like Olympic divers come out and during the show. I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
Are they all in pirate garb, by the way?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And on a side note, like Tennessee ain't exactly the most we have our thoughts on COVID and matches other places.
Right.
So like we're all shoulder to shoulder in this arena, maybe like four people wearing masks. A couple of them were performers, which was interesting, diving with a mask on, but
There was bats flying around everywhere.
But then they're like, they bring like these poles come down and like people are like pole dancing like Circus Delay. I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing.
I'm gathering that everything down there has a little bit of everything. The gas station's got a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. The show's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden like there's a song during it, and I'm like, is that Dolly Parton? How'd this show get Dolly Parton to do this? Then, if you figure it couldn't get any better, there's a scene where it's like, oh, I got a friend, a freaking sea lion just jumps out in the middle of the show. I'm like, now, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
Now, is there any kind of like narrative that's going on through the show, like a story, or is it just like, here's everything we got? You know what? You can't. We have something for you. You're going home with something like, wow, I saw a sea lion or a dinosaur or a pole dancer.
There's kind of a narrative. It's kind of like I said, like medieval times where there's like a red team and a blue team.
Wow, okay.
And they're doing different events and they're like bringing kids
down. What team were you on?
I was on the blue team. I forgot what our name was. I want to say Barracuda, but that's Legends of the Hidden Temple. Yeah, so I forget the name of it, but it was a close competition, and as they were going along, there was just more crazy. Like, they brought kids out, and they're like, all right, we got something special in the box. The first team to get it to the finish line first wins. They open the box. Family of ducks on both sides are just running out of a box. And, like, every time something happens, I'm like, oh, my God, how can this get any better?
I just picture you like a little kid, like, whoa, 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 like a sea lion.
Yeah, the captain was like, please, sir, sit down. We're trying to run a show here. And then if it
goes, no, sir, you can't pet the sea lion. Like, you can't.
Yeah, they literally said they had like a sea lion event because they had two of them. And they're like, we please ask everybody to stay seated during the sea lion.
Yeah, I feel like in Tennessee, that's just like head explosions everywhere. Sea lion, oh my God!
What kind of deer is that? Shoot it!
Put it down.
But if anything could have made it better, I'm like, all right, nothing can make this better. Scott, what kind of animal could have made this event better for Michael Berlew?
All right, well, for you, a whole bunch of dogs got to come out in like costumes or something and run around. Got it.
Good job, yes! Scotty.
My second guess is you were throwing it to me, and there was gonna be like bears coming out on poles. Like,
oh, that would have been Scott. I would have been like, I quit the podcast and moved to Pigeon Forge. All I do is spend my money watching this show. They're like, the next contest, we got to see who can retrieve the treasure fastest, and then two golden retrievers come out. I'm like, this is the greatest show that has ever existed. I will never go to another show again. Screw Broadway. It's Pigeon Forge, baby.
Are you, like, giving a standing O at the end? Like asking for an encore? Like, please, God, bring out something else. Bring out a manatee. I need more.
The tear in my eye. I'm like, please continue. Please let me stay for the 8 o'clock show. Please. I didn't know it would be this good. That's why I took the early show.
Now, is this, like more kid oriented, or is it just like for anyone looking for any kind of some sort of entertainment in there?
I think anybody. Like, literally, it was so joyous. It's clear that they got like divers and,
well, the Olympics are over. So
what's up?
The Olympics are over. The gymnasts, the divers, they got nothing to do.
Exactly. But Knoxville, the University of Tennessee, is like a half an hour from Pigeon Forge, so you could tell they got people from there, and that's where they make their spare money.
Yeah, they're probably like, and now Simone Biles and a bear cub, you know? What?
That was basically my entire night there.
Now, then, I noticed you had pirate costumes.
Yeah, I was supposed to have the pirate shirt, which, like, literally, I don't know how it did not get packed. Because literally, I showed it to the wife, I put it in there, and I can only assume as I was grabbing stuff, it accidentally fell out. But she wore her shirt, and I, by rule, had to wear the Disney Pot Mickey ears.
So you're showing up to a non-Disney show with Disney ears on.
Kind of seemed like it, Scott. It was kind of... Like, I was literally saying, I feel bad. And she's like, no, I saw you pack it. I don't understand it either. She's like, but it's fine. And she handed it
to them. God,
like,
she's got backup costumes for you.
I feel like
Halloween in your house has to just be like a complete letdown. Like, it's just like every other day was Halloween. What the hell did we do for this one?
Yeah. It's,
she's
it's
like, one you, of those you can wear your normal clothes today, sweetie.
Yeah, I wear a three-piece suit for Halloween. What are you supposed to be? Normal.
You want to wear this Philly shirt that you haven't worn 364 days? Here you go, buddy. Happy Halloween.
So, to continue this, so I stayed again at the inn at Christmas Place, which is the hotel that is Christmas all year long. Mm-hmm. And it was a very nice layout. No, I always enjoy there. They're so friendly there and whatever. But, so when you do breakfast, most days Santa is out there for like 2 hours to kind of greet guests, talk to them, stuff like that. They also do other things. He does like book readings later in the day, or he does a concert in the
Santa
in
does
the
a
back.
Concert?
Yeah, Santa plays guitar and he sings different Christmas songs. And...
What do people not do down there? Like, are they all just artisans of, like, you know, whatever? It doesn't matter. Santa's doing flips. Santa's flying parrots. He might have went from that show and just, okay, I got to get over to my Santa gig at
It's Woodstock year long there. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, this day, like, not a lot of people were talking to Santa, it seemed like. It kind of seemed like he was kind of bored or whatever.
Oh, poor Santa.
Yeah.
He's probably like, thank God.
So, I'm finishing my breakfast. I'm like, oh, I'm going to say, hey, how's it going? Just small chit-chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we finish our breakfast, and I look at Jerry, and he's not there. And I go, all right, I guess Santa's on a break or whatever. This was our day. We're going to head to Knoxville. So it's like, all right, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Yes. And then we're going to head out.
Yes.
So
is Santa dropping logs? And
I'm taking a pee. And I say to myself, it'd be weird to give him a break. He's only got 2 hours. So I look at the stalls. I see one close. I look down the floor. I see big black boots and some red velvet pants down by the knees.
Yes.
Scott, Santa was making coal while I was in the bathroom.
It'd be great if you had to stay in character. Like, ho, 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 ho. That one was damn burrito last night. Ho, ho, ho.
I was thinking about knocking on the door and asking if I could sit on his lap, see if that was cool.
Santa?
Santa, I want to make sure I'm on the good list. Ho, ho, ho. Get the hell away from me, kid.
Ho, ho, hold on 1 second, damn it. Can't Santa shit in peace?
They're all black turds except for one, which is ruby red. It's weird.
Yes, yes. Which is either Rudolph or colon cancer. One of the two. But
let's hope for the magical reindeer. Yeah, yeah. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. And my final story from the vacation, Scott. Apparently, the weekend we go is Jeep weekend in Pigeon Forge. So,
I like Jeeps.
Every human being with a Jeep, preferably the 90% who have no doors and Six Flags hanging from the back of the Jeep,
gotcha.
Go to Pigeon Forge. And that's all they do all day and night is ride up and down the streets.
Yeah, I have a Jeep, but I wouldn't be attending that.
That's not happening. It's so many. How important it was, like, when we came back from one place, like, we were seeing people in lawn chairs all across the main road, and I'm like, I guess they have like a night parade or something, like something special, or whatever. So the one night we go out there and we're walk back to our hotel and we see some people on chairs. I'm like, just out of curiosity, what's happening tonight? It's like, nah, we're just out here to look at all the Jeeps. And it's like,
but it turned out there was gymnasts on Jeeps. There were ducks on Jeeps. The sea lion was in a Jeep, for God's sake.
Santa was on a toilet in a Jeep. And he was holding an inflatable beaver. It was the most amazing thing ever on four wheels.
So did you watch the Jeep parade or no?
No, it was like 90. It was humid. Mm. I had beer in my system. I had a bunch of salty food, so my head was pounding. Mm. I'm like, I am not sitting out here to go, ooh, there's a four-wheeler. Ooh, that's one that looks exactly like the one before. No. Ooh, this person says F. Biden on his flag.
Yeah, I'm sure you get a good amount of that. Now, did you, on the way back, try to be like, okay, we got to get gas. We might as well stop at the world's greatest gas station again.
We purposely
yes.
had lunch at Bucky's just to go back to it. It was that magical.
Wow. Wow. So what I'm gathering is it doesn't matter what, like, say you want to go to the pirate show and it's booked up, no big deal. You just go to the gas station. There's a little bit of everything. Say the gas station lines are too long, you just go down to Christmas Land. There's a little bit of there's a little bit of everything at Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Scott, if you are bored in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, nothing will help you in life. You might as well give up any hope of excitement.
Yeah.
There is no reason to continue life, because if those kind of stories don't excite you, there's no reason to continue.
I feel like if I did a comedy show in Pigeon Forge, I'm definitely opening, but definitely for like not like a magician or some kind of like variety act. Like you're not getting your straight host feature headliner show down in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, you got to have some good material there. Yeah. You can't be like, I went down to breakfast and all. What kind of gymnasts were there, Scott?
Yeah.
Well, none. You don't relate to Pigeon Forge. You're not a Pigeon Forge comedian. Wait a minute. There's four walls around here. That's why you don't belong here, Scott.
There, before we get to our guest, there was a month, a long, long, maybe 6 years ago. I was pretty new to comedy where I had opened for not one, not two, but three magicians in 1 month of comedy. I just felt like I was like the magician opener, like the hack that has to open for all these magicians and a mentalist. Do you remember that? Like a long time ago, we went down to some show in a diner. It was like an open mic and like the winner got put on some other show and it turned out it was like some mentalist guy that he was not he was not very good. Like they were kind of like bored the whole time. But then I opened for this other comic who is pretty well known around here. Everybody's worked with him and he's a freaking nutcase. And I remember I'm with like fellow comic Joe Fernandez and he's like, hold on, hold my rabbit, baby. And he just like plops the rabbit down on the table and we're like holding his rabbit. And that outdoor show I did a couple weeks ago in the middle of a field, he was the headliner. And like I'm talking before the show, he's like rubbing kerosene on his gloves and he's stuffing doves in his pockets and like it's just like, oh my god.
Any of the animals get loose while you're running through a field trying to chase like a rabbit or a bird?
Magicians are just special people, man. Like I give them credit because the amount of like prep prior to the show is really the show, right? Everything's in the preparation. Like if I don't have a game plan, I can like talk to the audience or something, but they have to have like every piece of their whole show ready to go. I gotta think pretty far ahead, but let's Mike, I feel like maybe Pigeon Forge would be down with this kind of imagination based guest we have. I think there's no limit to imagination in Pigeon Forge. There's no limit at all.
No,
obviously in their pirate show, there's. I mean, I didn't even hear you say there was a freaking pirate in the show description.
Yeah, they were dressed up as pirates, but I was just amazed by everything else. And I think there was some like sword fighting, yeah, which was all right. Uh-huh. It was like that was what I was going into, figuring, okay, a couple of dinner theater actors trying to sword fight. Yeah. And no, there's divers and seal lions, Scott.
So who we got tonight, Mike?
Scott, tonight we have David Tobin, who is the creator and CEO of AudioJack. Now, AudioJack is an app that is an audio-based movie with no words, no video, and no music. It consists of hundreds of sounds that are layered together to tell a story for your imagination. Now, this app has been used to help people with education, with dementia, for entertainment, for insomnia. It's amazing the bounds that this app has gone. So we're going to be talking with David on the creation of this and what the goals are with the company and how you can get it, Scott.
Let's get David on the line.
So, David, thank you for giving us some time for the podcast here. So I guess my first question is, when you're building a movie with no words, no videos, no music, have you seen a movie before?
Right? I've heard that they use those other elements. It's kind of strange, right?
It's like reverse Charlie Chaplin, where you're like, I see all this action and no sound, but I want the total opposite of that.
Exactly. Well, the whole thing is that the screen is inside your head. You know, you're using your imagination, so you're making the movie, and then afterward you get to talk about it and share it with everyone else and see what you came up with compared to what everyone else had. That's the fun part.
Right. Yeah, so when, like, exactly when I read the description of exactly what, well, first off, we should kind of get into what the product is first, but the AudioJack project, I was like, okay, what exactly is it? It sounded like a kind of a... I was trying to figure out if it was more of a meditative thing, if it was more and as I got onto the app and kind of messed around with it a little bit, I got to kind of see some of your vision. But let's backtrack, because I feel like we haven't even told people what the hell we're talking about. So what is AudioJack?
Just jump right in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So an AudioJack is an audio-based movie. AudioJack's the name of the company and the product as well. So an AudioJack is an audio-based movie. There's no words, there's no video, and there's no music. It's hundreds of sounds that are edited together to tell a story for your imagination. And you might listen to it, and you hear the wind and trees blowing, and then some feet fade in, and then they stop, and you hear a door open. Well, your imagination and memory are going to create a narrative based on what you're hearing, because we all have an association to sound.
Right.
And the really cool thing about it is that since it's sound-based, there's no language barrier. There's no gender. There's no race barrier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I break a glass here and I take a glass and break it in France, it doesn't go le break. Like, it's the same thing.
Are you sure? So have you researched that statement?
Yeah. Oh, I've tried. Yes, just for the sake of that example, actually. But yeah, that's the really neat thing about it. So everyone can engage with it.
So what was the creation of this? Like, where did this idea even stem from? Were you using making these things for yourself, or was this an idea that came at a bar with one of your buddies? Like, where did the genesis of this project come from?
So I came up with it. So my background's in television production and also music. I've been a TV producer for a while, and I used to manage the Roxy on Sunset Strip, and I've been in different bands and played a bunch of instruments. So I've got this kind of, you know, entertainment background, but creating story through sound and different mediums. So I already had that kind of, you know, that's who I am as a person. And so at one point I was working on a pilot for a TV show. And a friend of mine gave me a drive that had an update to something we were doing. And he said, oh, I put something cool on there. Check it out. And it was this folder of all these sound effects. He's like, I know you're into music and stuff, but check it out. And I was like, all right. And it was the sounds from, I think, a James Bond film and a couple other random, like, libraries. And I was listening to them, and the quality was so good, like of a door shutting. I know it sounds really goofy, but like some of these sounds, they just sounded amazing. It was just like really cool, and it triggered something. And so I stayed up all night mixing and putting these together and layering them together and layering them together and creating something. And before I knew it, it was like the next day. And then I played it for a friend, and he's like, dude, it sounds like Red Dawn is going on in my bedroom. He's like, what is this? Like, what's going on here? It's crazy.
That's and weird, just, because that's what Mike's bedroom sounds like pretty much 365 days.
Really?
Yeah.
The actual Red Dawn every night. And that's the only way I could fall asleep.
There you go. And so, yeah, it came from that, and I created it, and I saw people's reactions, and everyone asked, like, hey, what's the story? Like, what's the story behind this one? What's the story behind that one? And I wouldn't tell anyone. And I'm like, no, you have to come up with it. That's the whole fun of this. Because it's like, you know, you hear a song and you're like, hey, baby, that's our jam. And then you find out it's about like a car or something else stupid. And you're like, well, that ruins that, you know, kind of changes it. Or you see like someone and, it, you know, it's like the voice of your favorite cartoon, and it messes with you. So I wanted to give people something that they could have that was always theirs. And it's also fun to compare your stories and see what you came up with other people. But there's not a lot of things in life that give us that kind of freedom. And then it got into education and ran from there, because my mom is been a teacher for 22 years, and I volunteer in the education space. And I said, well, let's see if we can do this in the classroom. And then it kind of caught fire.
When you're starting to make these, do you make your own story in your head and then build off of that? Or, because I'm just kind of curious how you go about, like, when you're saying, okay, this is, I want to hear some wind in the background, this, I'm guessing you have your own story to, like, play it out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to have any kind of concept, like anything, like I have an outline, there's other creators we've brought on to, you know, that make these as well. And everyone starts with an outline, and you have an idea of what you want, because you need your beginning, middle, and end. And you need to know where you're going, and then you just kind of fill it in. But there's always like a concept before. There's some, though, that I'll start, like I'll just find some amazing sounds and be like, okay, I need to make something with this. How do I do that? Or a friend that has a really unique profession with some kind of sounds, I'll be like, okay, can we build something around that?
Yeah.
I know you, from what I've read up, you kind of started with your mother's a teacher.
Yeah.
And you kind of used her product, kind of tested out there. I mean, kind of talk through the steps of, like, what are you doing? Are you just, like, working directly with your mom? Are you going to, like, the principal and saying, like, listen, we want to blindfold kids and surprise them in this scenario?
Right? Yeah, I know. It's such a crazy visual to think about asking them. But no, so my mom ran it in her classroom, and the kids were really into it. And then teachers in the writing department heard about it. And so they started applying. Basically, everyone engages with it kind of the same way, no matter whether you're using it in school or for fun with your friends while you're, you know, getting hammered and doing that, by the way, which is really crazy to do. But you...
Some guys like beer pong, David. Some guys like beer pong.
Well,
but
yeah. No, I mean, I started off doing these at game night with friends and stuff, and it was
right.
crazy. It's like doing an audio Rorschach test with your friends while they're drunk.
Right.
It's wild. Yeah. What happened was, is like it, you listen to it once with your eyes closed and you just listen and let your mind go. And then you listen to it a second time, the same one, and brainstorm and just whatever you're thinking, whatever you want the story to be. It's not guess what the sound is. It's let the sounds create something for you. And so that's kind of the lesson how it goes in the classroom. And they would, you know, start it from that space. And that's what we decided to do. And then other teachers started, you know, saying, okay, I want it to play through the rest of the period, and I want the kids to write a lesson or write a story or do this or do whatever. And so I started reaching out to different friends through social media when I got into this and just said, hey, are there any teachers out there? I created this product. Let's go. And then after school programs started getting on board with it, and more friends just started using it to like help fall asleep or just a distraction from the normal stuff in the day. And so the principals then and heads of programs saw that the teachers were using it and said, well, I guess we have to support it. Because if you're trying to get a program in a school, going to a principal and saying, hey, I want, or whatever superintendent,
right,
is like impossible to try to get anything to go.
Well,
so
as you're talking, like I worked in an elementary school for a long time, and there's two lessons that this reminds me of. One, I used to have kids kind of journal about music, and I would play music for, you know, kids, and they have to write down their thoughts and feelings and things like that of all different genres. But there was another one. There was a book by Chris Van Allsburg called The Mysteries of Harris Burdick, and it basically gave kids – it basically told them there was these illustrations that were left on this publisher's desk, but they basically only left one phrase, and the rest of the story was missing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they had to create these stories. And even if you go online today – if you Google Mysteries of Harris Burke, there's like websites dedicated to just the stories that kids have created. So that's what this, as you're talking, is bringing back kind of all these memories to me.
That's really cool. So did you ever do Peter and the Wolf with the kids?
I did not, no. But I do know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember Peter and the Wolf?
Right? Isn't that Peter and the Wolf?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of the impetus that put it in me as a kid. You know, it was it's a lesson for those that don't know, you know, and each instrument represents a different character in the story, and you learn the emotion from just the sound of that instrument.
Right. Yeah.
So it kind of connects like that. And actually, I just saw Viola Davis do Peter and the Wolf at the Hollywood Bowl last month. So that was kind of a neat treat.
That's cool.
To see that and have it kind of come full circle and see, like, holy cow, Audio Jack kind of came from that.
So when you're making these, you're first getting into this, you know, you're kind of toying around as a hobby or maybe even do it. When did it transition to, okay, I'm going to try to make an app? And what was that process like as far as going from, okay, I had this idea to actually making it into a tangible product?
All right. The process of making an app. Have you ever like decided to like open a drawer in your house and put your head in it and slam it repeatedly over and over again?
Yeah.
Constantly.
Cause that's kind of what the fuck. That's kind of the process. But, but to answer the question seriously and your earlier one, it was a moment where I saw people reacting to it. Like it was on, I would, you know, send MP3s to people and different stuff like that. And then I saw the school starting to get on board and they were like, how do we get this? And I was like, oh, okay. And so I had a friend create a website where you could download the MP3s and do different things with it. And we kind of got that going. And I'm like, this is not going to work at the bigger scale. And I saw the impact it was having. And if you go to audiojack.com in the learn category of the website, you can see like data from teachers and stories and stuff. And it really was making a significant impact. And so I said, and I was like, okay, well, if I want this to really reach more people, there has to be a legitimate business around it. And there has to be a product that's deliverable and works and is easy for them to do. So that's what motivated me to actually turn this into something other than just something for fun. It was seeing the impact it was having. And I was like, okay, I got to do this now. And so I decided to jump in. I'd never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
And then, and the app was just a natural part of it. It was like, okay, well, this is how people are accessing it. They need to be able to have a platform where they can do it. And so a friend of mine made a version based off the website with a thing called Phone Gap that kind of lets you do that. It's an easy way to do it. Then after that, I just had to save money and try to find developers to piece together and Frankenstein an app, which took a very long time.
Yeah.
Now, your initial design of it is for like education and enhancing imagination, but it seems like it kind of took off in other directions. Can you tell us about Jared Leto and the World Wildlife Foundation, how they use your product?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things was, is like education picked it up as a product, but the whole while people have been using it for fun, like just to listen to or whatever. But education was this big part that grabbed onto it. And at the time I had friends working with different animal rights organizations, and a friend of mine was putting on an event with the World Wildlife Fund, and they had heard of AudioJack through these kind of channels. And I knew Jared from back when I managed the Roxy and worked over on the Rocks. Back in the day. And so he was having this huge event because he was becoming an ambassador for poaching and, like, you know, basically campaigning to stop poaching in different parts of the world and stuff along those lines. We thought, well, hey, this is a great opportunity to showcase the wildlife category and create it. And so that came together through this. And he was like, hey, you get to come to my house and have a party now instead of me going to the Roxy. And so we did this amazing event there, but it was actually really intense. So there's an audio jack that's not in the app right now because of the pandemic, because things were really intense and people were using the app and finding their way to it to help themselves fall asleep, to take a break. So I took this audio jack called Black Rhino out of the app. It was actually created for that event. And it gives you the feeling of you're a rhino being hunted by poachers in, Africa. It's incredibly intense. So when the pandemic hit, I took that one out of the app, just out of circulation, just because I want people accidentally stumbling upon it and then losing their mind. because when we did it at the event, people were crying, and it's only like 4 minutes long, and people were just in tears, because they felt like they were right there. You don't actually hear the animal get killed or anything like that in it. It's just what you don't see and what you experience with it is pretty intense. It's just, you feel like you're being stalked. And then we did the chimpanzee one, which is really happy and fun. We did that one afterward to kind of cheer everyone up because it was a party after all. it was really neat to do that. And I've worked with other areas where it's like worked with, you know, we've worked with the Farm Sanctuary, the World Wildlife Fund, the Humane Society International, Gentle Barn. I just did one with Wolf Connection, which was awesome because I got to spend a night with wolves by myself at this place. It was phenomenal. It was a little scary. It was me and one other person from the facility, but it was pretty wild. And so I captured all these different sounds to let you feel what it's like to be a wolf. And then we made the wolf audio jack, which is one of the neater ones in there.
I just see you running around a wolf preserve with a microphone. Come back here. Come here, buddy.
Actually, one wolf came at me and another one got in the way and knocked it down. It was crazy. And then we wrap things up at that point.
Yeah. Cut. Yeah. I'm sure you have stories of, people writing, you had a story in your mind and they came out with something completely different, but I'm curious, have you read someone's story or heard someone's story when they listened to it and it was almost identical to one of yours?
Oh, that's a good question. There was one time that something happened at a live event and it blew my mind because they got it down to the details. I didn't tell them they were right, of course.
Right.
And you're going to get a kick out of this. So audio jack, because there's no language barrier, means there's no visual construct with it, right? Where you're creating it in your head. So we work with blind organizations all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal program for the blind, they use it just the same. Because if you and a blind person listen to it together, it's a really neat experience. And I've worked with different programs in other countries that use it too. And I was at Perkins School for the Blind in Boston, Helen Keller's alma mater. It's a phenomenal institution. And I was doing a live presentation there. We did a bunch of stuff while I was out there for a week with them. And we did this one audio check with, I think, like 50 kids. And one of the students, one of the kids, had it to the T.
Jeez.
And I'm telling you, he knew what kind of gun the guy used in the battle. He knew what kind of shrubbery they were walking through. He knew the type of vehicles. It was, and I said at the end, I said, and by the way, someone actually got the story, so I'm not going to tell you who.
Wow.
But it was crazy. And he's blind and he's never seen, I end up talking to him later, but he's never seen a day in his life.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty neat. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, one person that got it has never seen.
Kind of tell us, like, how it's been now with, like, the pandemic. I'm guessing, like, with all this time and people are kind of closed in, I'm sure there was, like, more people look into this app for either entertainment or anxiety or anything like that. Did you notice a larger audience during this time frame?
Yeah, actually. So when the pandemic hit, all the programs there's so many different kinds out there, but a lot of them weren't active anymore. After school programs, summer programs, a lot of institutional learning wasn't. But what we found was that teachers started using it virtually, because you can connect the audio jack, your phone, to a Zoom call and then play directly from the app, and it's like a direct input.
Right.
So it sounds like you're listening to the app wherever you're at. So they started doing live sessions, and we were actually approached by one company called Cosm. They host all these like sci-fi shows, Ghost Hunters. They're with Nick Roth and all these other people and things like that. Actually, it turned into Cosm. It used to be something else, but they started doing these live sessions with different authors and celebrities. And they would listen to the audio jack and share the story with people. And then people would share their stories. And it became this way of people to connect when we couldn't connect. So that was kind of interesting to see that grow. But something that surprised me was a ton of people have been using it to help themselves fall asleep.
Huh.
And that was something we've done the research. We've done we're doing even more. But we worked with, like, UC Riverside's brain program to show how this affects the mind and, like, when you listen to an audio jack, you get a light form of REM activity in the mind that allows you to kind of refresh.
Right.
But then when you apply it to going to bed, right, it makes total sense, because it's like you count sheep or you think about stuff or whatever. But if your mind's racing, you put on an audio jack, you focus on that story.
Right. Right.
Well, you're not thinking about it anymore.
Now, let me ask you, like, you have this audio file, audio jack is, you know, it seems like your main goal is to kind of inspire imagination, but you just said, you know, people are using it to sleep. Mm-hmm. When I picked it up, one of them kind of just sounded like ambient noise, almost like kind of meditation. What is the process of trying to figure out how to market your product? Like what genre are you trying to hit, or
sure.
You know, is that a challenge, or is that something that you guys have kind of narrowed down and figured out?
So, yeah, it's a huge challenge because we have different divisions of the company now that are focused on each area because it's used in so many different places. The core mm-hmm. of it
right.
is for us to use our imaginations, and that's the whole thing. It stops right there, but then you can apply this tool to so many different areas. But that element of it, for me, is the most important part of it, because – as humans, we're not using our imaginations as much as we should. Social emotional learning comes from our imagination. You have to imagine what someone's going through to identify it so you can be a better human and treat people better. Like, our imagination is this wonderful tool that is totally maligned, because we're like this always on generation, I think. Like, we're in front of a screen. People are in front of a screen 14 hours a day on average now. That's bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's really bad for the mind, because when you have time to daydream, generally people pull out their phone and they screw around on it or do whatever. But when you're daydreaming, you're getting a light for that light form of REM activity. It's refreshing your mind. It's allowing you to process stuff you experience through the day, but people aren't doing that. And so it all comes rushing back at night, and it creates stress and anxiety and depression and insomnia and all sorts of stuff. So that's where the core of it is. But, you know, by keeping that, and that's kind of where my focus is, we have different team members that work with senior care, with memory loss and dementia. We have people that work with after school programs. We have people that work with the blind programs. We have people that work with the wildlife education, working with PTSD in all those different divisions. So it's crazy, because for a while it was just trying to figure out how to do it all at once, but then it's kind of grown to be able to allow that. So yeah, it's really tricky.
Yeah, it's really tricky.
You kind of mentioned earlier how you got your, like, a lot of the sound effects a buddy had, like, a bunch of them on file. Yeah. Do you have to go through, like, any kind of new process as you're marketing it now based on, I'm sure somebody's like, oh, that sounds like a scene from this movie, or that dog in the background was my dog and I'm suing. Like, what kind of things do you have to go through to get this all set up?
So, the sounds are so individual. It's like each footstep. It's like the door handle, crack, and lock are all independent. So it's not like you're going to recognize it from a movie. But you might hear a siren that you've heard in other movies and things like that. As far as someone's like, hey, I own that sound or whatever, like all the sounds we get are licensed or we create them ourselves or we go out and find them. And have it all cleared through, you know, whatever we're doing when we work with different people and things like that. So, but it's just, I mean, it's a massive sound effect library and then constantly pulling in sounds. Like we just did one with Friday Jones. She's a pretty famous tattoo artist. And we just did one called Ink. So you can actually feel what it's like to get inked if you've been so inclined, or that's actually a relaxing thing for you, because I know a lot of people it is.
Interesting.
And now, so we pulled sound from like that and then made a whole world to exist around it.
Now, we'll fully volunteer you. Like, if you want audio to put people to sleep, we will send you back catalogs of our last 300-something episodes.
There it is.
And you don't have to worry, because most of the stuff I say isn't real words, so it won't go against any of your principles.
Oh, that's perfect. And you know what? I'll use some of that. I'll use that in an episode or an audio jack where we have someone like going through the radio or something and like tuning in, and we'll tune into you guys.
Oh, perfect. So, David, tell us. Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead.
No, I just say, David, tell us where, like, first off, thanks for giving us the time here and kind of going through your product. It's almost nice hearing from you, like, because it definitely, like, clears up all the functionality of the app and the different things it can be used for. But if people want to, like, check this out, or what's the first step for them to kind of get, okay, what we heard the audio jack guy, now what do we, like, what's the next step for them, and how should they kind of proceed into getting into this world?
I think the best way is there's a free version of the app. It's Audio Jack. It's all one word. Your phone might try to autocorrect it. But it's, I would say download it and just pick one, close your eyes and hit play and let it go. Because once you experience one, once you actually hear it, it's everything changes. I mean, you guys know you've heard it now. So it's like,
right.
You know, it's like, what is this thing? And then you listen to it and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay. That's a thing. So I think that's the best way to do it. I mean, audiojack.com is a great resource. There's all the information about how it's used in other areas. But I think the best thing is just jumping in and seeing what happens.
David, thank you so much for your time. Before we let you go, one final question. As you said, you've played these and had games and so forth. There has to be some story where, like, two people were literally arguing over what the sound was, even though there's no definitive scene. There has to be some kind of story you've heard about this.
Oh man, yeah, it happens a lot. But you know where it happens? I hear it happens between parents and their kids, because they're like, no, this is the sound of this, 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 and this has to be this. And the kids are like, what are you talking about? It could be anything you want. It's going to be this. And they're like so literal. Actually, you know what? Here, a real quick funny story. I got a letter once written into us years ago when we did our first Halloween episode. Every year we make a custom Halloween one. We've done with Maroon 5. We have possibly a really big one this year coming out as well. We make like custom different ones with them. And the first Halloween episode came out, told everyone like, hey, it's going to be spooky, but it's not like murder stuff. It's just, it's scary. It's called The Heart. If you want to look at it, it's in the action adventure category.
Okay.
The Harvest is also one we made that with a movie and things like that. But I got a letter, a scathing letter from a parent saying, how could you create something like this? It's giving my child nightmares. It's so scary. Da 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 da. They were just ripping me, and they were just. I was like, "What the?" You know. I'm like, "Okay, whatever." You know. And I replied back, "Sorry, you know, that your kid has a wild imagination, but maybe it's a good thing." And that was it.
Right.
A couple of days later, we got a message on one of our social media accounts from the kid apologizing for their parent, saying, "It's the coolest thing ever. I love it. I don't know what they're talking about. My mom got scared after she listened to it with me. I think it's awesome."
That's a great kid right there. That kid's going places.
Absolutely.
And real quick, I was just thinking, as you, you know, you're creating these stories, like, in your head, have you gone and, you know, because that's like, you have time to think about it, and then you're processing audio. Have you taken that and, like, used some of your writing to work on, I don't know, like, either books or your own pieces? Or
yeah. You know, I've used it for writer's block.
Right.
And things like that. I haven't created anything physical with any of the audio jacks yet, but a lot of people have created stories. And we worked with a bunch of kids in different writing programs, actually amateur writers as well too. But a lot of people have created short stories based on audio jacks that you can kind of find out there. It's not a widespread thing, but it's definitely out there. Which has been kind of interesting.
So, David, thank you so much for giving
us
the
time. You guys need to do one.
yeah, we might. Maybe that's what we should do, Mike. Listen to one and then discuss what we think it's about.
I'm down with that.
All right. Maybe after we get off the phone with David. So, Dave, I want to thank you so much for your time, man. Good luck with the product. I think it's really cool. It's really unique, and it's got a definitely really a different angle that you're coming from. So it's really cool to hear all about it. Good luck with it, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate the time, man. It's great hanging out with you.
Thank you. All right, David Tobin, Mike. What we'll do, if anybody is interested, what we'll do, instead of playing a little outro song at the end of the podcast here, we'll play one of the full audio jacks, and you guys can kind of get an idea of what these things actually are, and maybe you guys are into it. But
and next week, Scott's going to replace my voice with audio jack segments,
right?
Figuring that he could talk to something without words way better than myself.
Yeah. I can't wait. It will be by far our most highly rated episode in a long time. They'll be like, the new co-host is amazing. But Mike, last week I told you that I had a comedy show coming up on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who told me everything about her son, who had the one testicle and he drove a Ram truck, and I told you it was going to be I had a feeling it was going to be an interesting experience. Now, I will preface this. The streak is over, Mike, of weird, like, bad shows, at least. This one went well. So we're not even, like the comedy aspect of it went well. But the beforehand aspect of it was a little weird.
Now, before you continue, I was hoping you were going to say it would be bad where I gave you this idea.
Right.
So how I said you should really do a surprise show, you should do a surprise show combined with your outdoor capabilities.
Right.
So, like, people come to, like, a sleepaway camp in the middle of the night, and they're getting chased by some redhead telling really bad jokes about his family.
Right. So this woman I explained last week, she booked me through another comic that's seen me, but I don't know, he liked my act, and he was like, hey, I think you'd be perfect for this group, blah, 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 blah. And I called her, and it's kind of like the conversation was like, hey, we'll call her Kelly. Hi, Kelly. This is Scott, the guy, the comic that for the show. And she's like, oh, great. I can't wait. Let me tell you about my son. We'll call him Steve. My son, Steve, he's a fireman. It's his 30th birthday party. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's normal for me. And then she's like, well, he's a cancer survivor. I'm like, oh, that's amazing, you know. And then she's like, yeah, he's just got one testicle. And, you know, he had a, like, just really, like, hammering the fact, like, giving me way too much information. Like, you're a cancer survivor. I don't need to know your whole life story. That's, like, you know, especially not comedy-wise. I'm not going to be like, hey, everybody, who's got two testicles out there? Raise your hand. Oh, not Steve. Like, I'm not going to do something weird like that.
Well, Scott, you did ask a one-legged woman the week before. What happened?
I did accidentally ask a woman.
So you got to, like, start looking at a guy's pant legs.
Right.
So you can go, oh, got an opener.
Yeah. So she tells me, like, what kind of truck he drives, what, you know, everything about the size of the room. They booked the bigger room, and this many people drive. I'm like, lady, I mean, you're not paying me much here. Let's wrap this thing up here. Like, tell me, here's the time I got to be there. How long do you want us to perform, and we'll do the job.
Was she looking for an entire set revolving around the scene?
I don't know. I think she just, like, was kind of like a little bit of a weird woman and just like to talk a lot. Because I get there and I get there early. She says we're gonna go you can get there around 7:00. We'll go on around 7:30 or whatever. And, you know, so I get there, I'm like, hey, I'm here, what do you want me to set up? Oh, right here. And I get in there and there's probably about 40 people, small little room, seated at tables, perfect little comedy fundraiser. Was not worried at all. But as soon as I get there, she's like, that's Steve over there. I said, hey, Steve, you know, happy birthday, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, as soon as he's there, yeah, he's got one testicle. Like, I'm like, why are you? He's got one testicle. He drives a Ram truck. Like, she gave me all the information again.
You think, like, she just does that to everybody? Like, she's in the store and she'll be like, well, that's $7.98. That's wonderful. My son's got one testicle. Yeah. He rides a Ram truck.
Maybe she's trying to get half off. So she's just bagging me with information again, like everything. So she's like, look, we're running a little behind. We're going to start at 7:45. I'm like, no problem. Like, that's 15 minutes. I'll go upstairs. I said, why don't you just text me when you're ready for us to come down? Because it's a little weird. The room's so small, and it's just me and Kevin Israel, another comic. Like, I don't want to be standing there while they're eating, like, basically watching them. It's just weird. Like,
maybe you should be like her, where you just go up to people and be like, hey, how's the chicken cutlet? It looks good and all. Did you know he only has got one testicle?
I have two. And there's always that illusion, right, that you kind of want to keep at, like, a show, right? It's a little weird when you're, like, watching the comics standing there in the room. You kind of want to be in the audience and not really see them, and then they appear on the stage. I don't know what it is, but that's kind of, like, the way a show goes, right? You don't want to be going to see Guns N' Roses, and they're standing next to you during the opening band. It's a little weird, right?
I don't know. Like, the opening band's going, I'm like, what? Why is Slash just sitting on a stool there?
Yeah, okay. I think I chose a band too big, because that would be cool.
I'd be intrigued. Like, I would go to that birthday show. It's like, well, Slash ain't going to perform, but he's going to sit right next to us.
All right, fine. You're at a Guns N' Roses concert, and then the opening band before the show starts is standing next to you, and then you see them walk on the stage. That's a little weird.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Not Axl and Slash, which are like household faces, you know. So me and Kevin go upstairs. We're just sitting in the bar, no problem, chatting. And I go downstairs at 7:45. I'm like, hey, like, you ready to go? And she's like, no, like, is that a clock okay? I'm like, okay. I'm like, no problem. I'm like, we were supposed to start at 7:00. Now, like, keep in mind the pay. I'm kind of doing this pretty much on the cheap, like, very cheap. Yeah. Like, the cheapest I would work bringing a comic and bringing the sound and all that, like, the older I get, the more I'm like, if you're not going to pay me, I'm not going to leave my son and my wife and go God knows where, you know.
One year ago, you'd be like, hell yeah, for $5.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Dude.
I mean, the wife's in labor, but I mean, $5, I mean.
Yeah, get paid in pizza, you know. That's happened numerous times. I've done many a comedy show where I spend more than I make, you know.
Oh, that's easy to do.
Yeah. So 8:00 rolls around. I go down again. She's like, oh, the food's just coming out. Can we do 8:30? Now I'm starting to get a little like, lady, come on. Like, you said to come here at 7:00. You know, it's a two-man show. And I was excited because she wanted me, the two of us, to do 20 minutes each. Bing, bang, boom. Clean. Get out of there. So sets up at 8:30, and then finally I'm like, look, I'm not waiting till 8:30. And old Scott would not have done this. Old Scott would have waited till 10:30 at night to perform, and been like, hey, you know.
Listen, the custard just came out. It's right. One of his favorites. He takes only 20 minutes to eat it, you know.
Yeah. One thing I'm learning as I'm getting older is, like, it's okay to be a little bit assertive, like, when you're the one providing the service. Like, I was like, look, I don't mind that much. You still have 20 minutes to eat. I'm like, we're starting at 8:15 no matter what. I'm like, 20 minutes is enough. The food is out. Like, it was a buffet. And I'm like, okay. So, long story short, like, 8:15, I walk down there. And she goes up and she's like, I said to Kevin Israel, I said, watch this. I've been around long enough where I've done these fundraisers now where I was like, the intro is going to be horrific. She's like, can I say a few things before and bring you up? I'm like, of course. I'm like, the intro is going to go like this. She's going to say, hi, guys. Thank you so much for coming. Steve's birthday, blah, blah, blah. And then she's going to go into a sad cancer story and then be like, and now comedy from Scott. And I'm like, she's not even going to remember my last name. Mike, I swear to you. She goes up. She goes, hey, everybody. Blah, blah. Thanks for coming. Steve, a couple years ago, got diagnosed with cancer. It's been a really rough time. He's had a really hard go in life, and everyone's kind of like, you know, real quiet. And so, and I swear to God, she goes, but now we're going to have some comedy from Scott. It was exactly what I said. And as I was going up, I just laughed at Kevin. I'm like, I told you. Like, it was just, but, you know, it was the show. As well as it could have gone, but it was funny. Like, the first thing I said to you, I'm like, Steve, you know how much your mom loves you? She went out of her way on her birthday party to book two comedians you've never heard of before for your birthday. And like, that kind of broke the ice, but it was pretty good. Like, I've always noticed there was a lot of firemen there. I guess he's part of it. Firemen are amazing audience members. They love being made fun of. They like ripping the guy next to them. Police officers, horrific audience members.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's some power trip there. Yeah, but
it's like no crowd play. Don't. What are you trying to say? All right,
alpha male. Like only one alpha in the room. You know, and where like comedy is like, you kind of have to be the alpha because you're the only you're the person. You know, you have to try to control it. But overall, it was good. But so I can't count that as a dud, so maybe we're on our way out of the dud shows, but I don't have any shows coming up. So
maybe you should tour with One Testicle Steve. Maybe he's your good luck charm, Scott.
The Scott and One Testicle. That sounds like a Pigeon Forge show. You know, like, oh, look.
No, you can. Don't be bragging like that, Scott. You're good, but you are not Pigeon Forge good yet, my friend.
Hey, babe, maybe, you know, we'll hit the gas station. We'll hit Christmas Land. We'll hit the Pirates. And maybe tonight we can catch Scott and One Testicle Steve. I heard it's absolutely
They're opening for the guy who holds ping pong balls up to his eyes and one in his mouth. It's amazing. Yeah.
And I guess real quick before you go, have you ever seen, I think it's from 2005, have you ever seen the documentary about Metallica, Some Kind of Monster?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. It is the funniest movie that was not meant to be funny ever. It is basically Metallica when they were making Saint Anger, which is like their worst album ever. And they actually have like a band therapist, like, with them at all times because they're not getting along. Jason Newsted, the bass player, quit. It is just Lars and James Hetfield being like, I'm not feeling it, man. And then, like, James Hetfield goes to rehab and he comes back and he's like, we're only allowed to record between the hours of 12 and 4. You can't let... And then, like, Lars hangs out after with the producer and listens to the track, and James finds out about it after the next day, and he's like, dude, now the rules, man. You listen to the track. You broke the sacred trust. And Lars is just like, man, I don't get you, man. Like, and meanwhile, they're just showing like James Hetfield singing these lyrics that are horrific. Like, it's just like the worst era of Metallica ever by far. But the movie just follows them throughout like therapy, and it is absolutely hysterical to see Maybe they've grown out of that, but the prima donna stage that was Metallica is like, I'm laughing the whole movie because they're just like big babies and they have to have a therapist like, all right, we're all going to write things down, you know, and what do we think is wrong with the band at this moment? What do we think? What songs do we like? Like, you have to watch it. It's on, I think it's on Netflix still. I haven't seen it in 10 years. I was watching it before the podcast, actually, like while I was eating dinner, and man, that is a good one.
Well, you said you usually look at these documentaries and you book guests. Why don't you get Metallica on the show and chat with them about that and kind of get to the root of their problems?
Yeah. one, they would never do it. And two, I don't think they'd have a fun time being like, that has to be looked at as like a, they can't be proud of that documentary. Like, if you watch it, it just so, it's like you taking you at your lowest point and like filming it, and then like also adding that you're like multi-millionaires. Wouldn't be surprised if Metallica's worth a couple $1 billion. So, and just showing them in the worst, most spoiled light ever. Like, at one point, they're listening to a song, and like Lars is sitting there on a guitar, and they're like, hey, what do you think? The producer's like, I like that part. James is like, what do you think? And they're like, what do you think, Lars? He's like, I wasn't listening to it. I don't know. I guess it's good. Like, it's like, it reminds me of what my bands in high school would do after we'd play for too long and we weren't anybody. And we'd be like, whatever, man. Like, it's not about the music anymore, man. It sounds a little generic, bro. And the way they talk, you would love it. You would love it.
It's kind of like that phrase, never meet your heroes, because in the 1980s, like, when we'd listen to his music, like, our parents would be like, oh, that's the devil's music. They're terrible. They're like sons of Satan. You can't listen to them, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, excuse me, you interrupted my safe space.
Literally what it is. It's like safe spaces, rules. They have rules about when you're allowed to listen to something they recorded. They're telling the one, why am I forgetting his name? The guitar player. The lead guitar, whatever. They're telling him, like, you're not allowed to do solos, man. Solos are like a thing of the past, man. And it's just them bickering about absolutely everything. Like, if I was that band, I don't care what we paid to produce that documentary, I would have never released that thing, ever.
Solos are a thing of the past. Technically, Metallica is a thing of the past, if you really think about it. I mean, you know, all these bands that we've talked to great band, like when we talked to lead singer Foghat, and can you imagine telling him, don't do that, man. That's old Foghat. We got to put Foghat into a new level. It's like, no, we're Foghat. We do Foghat things.
Yeah.
Let's just do the Foghat thing.
Yeah. It's like Metallica, they're going to play at Giant Stadium and sell it out every time till they're dead because people are going to go and they want to see those 15, 20 songs that rock, and that's all they want to see. They don't want to see any of this garbage that, like, they were putting. And I guess that's what makes this documentary even better. It's a juxtaposition of this super metal band, the Metallica drinking part, Metallica, you know, and they're just like, they're just going through, like, couples therapy, essentially, in the movie. So that would be my recommendation of the week, is go watch Some Kind of Monster from 2005, I think it is.
Yeah, I don't think any kind of documentary, any kind of reality TV show, anything involves the specials with the singers, it all kills the aura of all the music that we listened to back in the day.
It does, it does. But it is time to go. Another one in the books here. Mike, anything to promote before we rock and or roll?
I couldn't think of anything, Scott, so I'm just going to name a place I visited at Pigeon Forge. Let's go to Blue Moose Burgers and Wings, which is right next to the inn at the Christmas place. Izzy and I had dinner there twice, and they had some amazing nachos. The potato skins with pulled pork was outstanding. They have craft beers on tap, a real fun atmosphere, TVs at every booth that you sit on, real fun. When you get done watching a seal and a pirate show, you go to Blue Moose Burgers and Wings, Scott.
They when the show's over, the seal and the parrots, they actually bring your food to you. It's a ridiculous place over there. Ridiculous place.
It's insane.
I will promote a good friend of mine and good friend of ours, Mr. KP Burke, former guest on the show. he is recording his first comedy album September 11th at Kevin Smith. Yes, that Kevin Smith from Clerks and everything else. He has a little theater called the Smod Castle in Leonardo, New Jersey on September 11th. So he's recording his first stand-up special, Escape from Jacksonville, there. And KP is just one of my favorites, just a great guy. And a very, very funny comic. So if you want a good night out, go check out Escape from Jacksonville, KP Burke. And that's it, guys. Please, and I want to thank David for coming on, explaining what Audio Jax is. Go check that out. Like I said, you'll hear it in just a second. Please check us out on Helium Radio. Check us out on, no longer the BS Podcast Network. Just find us on Google and interact with us and give us reviews on iTunes, because that is
Podcast City Network.
Podcast City Network. That is what gets our show populated and also lets us know that you're out there. So other than that, guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Pigeon Forge!
Enjoy the Audio Jack. Thank you.